all of you present here today in this important meeting. Let us see if we do have any apologies before we commence with our meeting. And immediately from that, our main item on our agenda is to deal with the situation of the trust funds in the Namakwa region of the Northern Cape. Indeed, before that, there are certain issues that we have to clear. I just want to know if there are any apologies, first and foremost, and also for the Secretariat to see if other members are not getting lost like I did with my whip coming here. So we didn't rehearse, we didn't come here yesterday so that we can locate the venue. So it might be that it's the same challenge with other members that are supposed to be here. But let's look at the apologies. Who has apologized?
Good morning. There is only one apology from Honorable Lucas. He apologized because he is on an international trip. And Honorable Dexter will be a bit late. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Bond. Thank you very much. I can see that we are 2, 4, 6, 7. Before getting to the main item, we're going to adopt the program that we have not been able to adopt last time. I want your assistant to phone these other members that are not here so that we can then have a quorum. Who's the eighth one? Oh, she's here. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. Good. Good morning, honorable members, once more, and ladies and gentlemen. I think we did deal with the program in the last meeting because there were changes that we have effected on the program, and but I hope that the committee section will give you copies of such a program so that members are aware. Changes in the main are on the welcome, honorable members. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, can we request the department or the guys that are in front to sit in that side because it is very hard to see you?
Because Yeah, unfortunately, when they are going to present, they will have to sit in this cycle. But maybe, let's persevere, because it's the first time that we use this venue, and the configuration of this venue is different from other venues. Okay. So the other matter that we need to deal with before we get into the actual agenda of the day is that on the Geosciences Amendment Bill, last time we did approve the committee report, and there were indications from various parties that they would want to clear their mandates. So we'll just spend 2 minutes on that. We have been in contact telephonically, even though Honorable Lucas is not here. He then communicated with me that he did indeed clear his mandate with his party, and that they are fully in support of the amendments made. I had hoped that Honorable Dexter would be here, because I also contacted him just before, just 30 minutes ago. He also gave the similar indication that he is now given the mandate. Let's hear from the Honorable Mare, from the TA, and whoever. Sorry, because I communicated with Honorable Mare. Sorry. Whoever from the TA, so that we can then pass on this. Honorable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're taking it to the caucus tomorrow, but our recommendation is that we are going to oppose it.
No, they've got their right based on their consideration. So now we have a picture, but then it's fine. You have the ANC, you have the IFP, you have COP that have, approved it. The ID, I have a serious challenge because they're not attending. So we won't know where they stand, because they were not even participating in the process. But thank you very much for coming back to us on that. We will then, as of tomorrow morning, send it out for the ATC, and that it will be debated next week in the House fully. Thank you very much. Then, honourable members, today we are to look at the situation in the Northern Cape arising out of the oversight visit that we have undertaken in that province. Part of the findings that we have made on the ground was that whilst the province is quite wealthy in terms of the mineral resources, the communities, particularly communities within close proximity to those mines, are basically trapped into abject poverty. And when we probed the matter, firstly looking at the implementation of the social and labor plans by the companies that operate there and interacting with the communities, we were alerted to the fact that there is in existence at least two trust funds. One is the Namakwa Diamond Development Trust Fund. The second one is the Alex Core Development Trust Fund, whose purpose and objectives, according to the communities, were that they were set up for purposes of assisting the communities for their social needs. And that the communities indicated to us that they know of this trust in name, and they don't see exactly what is it that these trusts are doing within the communities. They also do not know how is the governance structure of those trusts. There are no reports that's the claim of the communities. There are no reports that they are receiving from these trusts, and therefore they have serious concerns. And that gave rise to us, therefore, having an interest in understanding more what are these trusts, how are they constituted, what are the legal basis of their constitution, how is their governance structure, what is it that they do? Do they receive some funds from these mining companies? If so, how do they disperse those funds? And as a result, we have then written letters to those trust funds and the two mining companies for them to come and address us specifically on these matters and bring with them the audited financial statements. And we've also requested the department, which we are going to start by, to give us legal basis for the formation of this trust and what is their understanding as a department in terms of what are the objectives of this trust and whether this trust indeed are basically discharging their responsibilities as expected. So we'll give the Department of Mineral Resources to take us through, followed by Transex, followed by Namakwa Trust Fund, followed by the National Union of Mine Workers to get a taste and a feel from the organized labor in terms of what is their understanding of this trust, and then we will then be followed by Alex Ko. Why we're saying Alex Ko will be the last? Because we seem to have a challenge on the second trust called Alex Ko Development Trust Fund. We're not sure whether they understand the reasons why we have called them to appear before this committee. It might be that they think that we are engaged in one of the gimmicks of the games that they play in Northern Cape, which is not the case. And their refusal to come here, for whatever reason, is going to lead to us taking the necessary legal actions, because it's more particular for Alex Ko Development Trust Fund important because they are dealing with public funds. Alex Ko is a state-owned entity, and therefore we would want to pay more particular attention to the developments in that field. So Alex Ko will give us their take, and based on that information from Alex Ko, we will then decide the next course of action in as far as the Alex Ko Development Trust Fund is concerned. In no way can they escape the long arm of the law for them to come and tell us what is it that they're doing. But we would then collect this information. But overall, once we have heard from all the role players, we will then debate as the committee in terms of what to do. What is the way forward that we need to take. So I would then ask the Department of Mineral Resources to then take us through. And immediately after you have given us your input, Mr. Oberholzer, members, honorable members, will engage you on your briefing. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, honorable chair and honorable members. Chair, I was asked to present. What we actually prepared is a presentation on feedback regarding the oversight visit on what happened since, and that was the kind of presentation that was prepared. Chair, I need to just mention the following with regard to the Macquarie Diamond Trust Fund. I liaised with my immediate head, the Deputy Director General, Mr. Rapela, regarding the fund itself. Our information is that the fund was established, but our department did give inputs relating to the the trust itself. That's the information I got. But the department had never been a trustee to the trust fund itself. And as a mineral regulation branch itself, we were not involved in administering anything regarding the trust or to get reports and to check on issues relating to the fund, Chair. So unfortunately, I'm not in a position, I can't comment on the fund itself, on the establishment, the day-to-day running of the fund, and administering thereof, Chair. Chair, sorry, if you allow me, just another comment on it. What we do have is that there was a stage a few years ago when the department approved that the royalties that were payable by, I think it was Transex and some other company, operating in the Richtersveld area, that the royalties that were payable to the state, that those royalties could be paid to the trust itself, and then the trust would take care of it and work according to the provisions of the trust deed to ensure that the beneficiaries get what is what they should get regarding the funds and the benefits. Thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, with regard, as I said, with regard to the fund, the trust fund itself, I did discuss it, as said, Chair, with my head, and I was just asked to present the update, and I don't have any other information that I can share, Chair. What I said is the information that was given to me. Thank you, Chair.
All right. No, thank you very much, Mr. Oberholzer. But I think just browsing through what you have prepared, it's going to assist us. We will give you space to talk to us through this update. It's very informative, even though I have not read it in detail. But for the matter on the table, it's a pity that maybe there was a miscommunication, because what we are looking for is, in your understanding as the person coming from the mineral regulation branch at the headquarters, and also aware of the developments in the Northern Cape in this instance, is that what legal basis are there? Are there legal obligations on the part of the mining companies to make a contribution, whether through the MPRDA or the preceding laws, mining laws that were there? You are alluding to the fact that there are royalties that are collected from the companies and a portion thereof is contributed to the trust. Now, because we want to understand the role played by DMR in terms of monitoring the implementation of such legal requirements on these companies. And it was adjudicate over applications for permits, be it exploration through to mining permits. You grant them those rights, especially now under MPRDA in terms of the conversions. Now, if there was miscommunication so that you were unable to gather the necessary information for this session, we would understand so. And meanwhile, we're dealing with the Transex and the trust fund itself. We can give you space just to maybe update your information. And after Alex Koh has given us their information, then we give you space to deal with us on this presentation, because it's quite informative, as I said. We don't want to put you under undue pressure if there was not clarity in terms of what is expected of you to do. But we can give you space to can then liaise back with your colleagues in the meantime. Is that in order with you?
Can do so, Chair. I do have some information here which could give some background. I don't know whether I should share that with the House now, Chair.
Please do.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable Chair and members, there was a submission that was signed in 2001 when our Director General approved as follows. I can just give a background. There was a letter received from the Chief Executive Officer of the Namaqualand Diamond Fund Trust via the Director General of the then Department of Provincial and Local Government. And that letter was referring to royalties that are to be paid into the trust. And then the recommendation that was presented to our Director General was that he would sign a letter to the Chief Executive Officer of the Namaqualand Diamond Fund Trust, and I can read that letter, the contents of that letter. It was addressed to a Mr. Steyn, the Chief Executive Officer of the Namaqualand Diamond Fund Trust in Springbok. And that was on the 6th of September 2001, Chair. It said, your letter dated 24 July, addressed to the Director General of the Department of Provincial and Local Government, has referenced this department, that's now our current department, agrees that in terms of the Namaqualand Diamond Trust Fund, Diamond Fund Trust, number T1202 of 94, all royalties due to the state for diamond mining in the rural areas of Namaqualand should be paid to the trustees of the trust. Then it is therefore also the opinion of this department that the mines Kubus Diamante, now Vena Mine, Nabas Diamante, and Global Mining, the former Octam Mine, should be paying royalties to the trust. And then there's just the last sentence. Should you need any assistance or more detailed information on diamond mining operations in the rural areas of Namaqualand, you are most welcome to contact the Springbok Regional Office. And that is the letter that was signed about that, Chair. And there was also a letter which was sent by the provincial and local government. This is the letter that I just referred to, Chair. It was addressed to our Director General. It says, I received a letter dated 4 July 2001 from Mr. Steyn, CEO of the Namaqualand Diamond Fund Trust. I hereby refer the matter to your office as I believe that it falls within your competence. A letter has been written to Mr. Steyn, referring him to liaise directly with your office on the above mentioned matter. And there's another submission, Chair. Yeah, the other letter that I note that I have here is just the background on the fund itself, Chair. But this is the kind of information that we have at the moment, Chair.
Given the fact that you shared that with us, can we run copies of that for honourable members so that when they deal with the matter, they have this correspondence in their possession? The secretary would tell me that's a cut. Thank you very much for now. But then let's allow first honorable members, if they do have some questions, to engage you, and we'll then move. Honorable Schmidt. Okay, that's it. Honorable Sonto, Honorable Mare, in that order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One issue, I am aware of the fact that the Royalties Act came into operation somewhere in 2000 and beginning of this year? Yes, February this year. Now, it might have an impact on the further payment of royalties to this fund. How does it impact? And if not, I think maybe we should just go back and get an answer to that as to the legal liability of those mines to pay, not to the treasurer, but to the development fund.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sonto.
Jefferson, thank you very much. I think it would be assisting if the background to the trust was given to us, so that when we look at the content of these letters, this correspondence, we've got a holistic view into the matter. I thought, Jefferson, you were going to allow Mr. Oberholzer to just give us that background of the trust.
Thank you, Honorable Mare. Noted, Honorable Motivella.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for making available copies of this. I found it strange that the Director General is responsible and there's no follow-up for 9 years on this matter. Because the last, what I heard now is 2001 somewhere. So I found it very strange, but I will keep back what I want to say. Let me get first copies of the correspondence, and I really will put something forward once I have got all the information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matibela.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it is correct to say when we got the whole.
Thank you very much. Would you care to respond to some of the questions, right?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The question with regard to the royalties that are payable, the Royalties Act did commence on the 1st of February this year, but in terms of the new Royalties Act, the royalties are payable to SARS. So the department itself is not collating that royalties. So if any royalties are now payable, they obviously have to pay through SARS. With regard to the background, I can just, if you allow me, Chair, I can read some background regarding to this Namaqual Endowment Fund Trust. It is a note that was provided to me.
Maybe let's save time by...
Can you press your what you call?
Maybe let's save time by asking the gentleman here to phone his people, to email this information to us. I'm sure we still have a long time before 1 o'clock. That is our shining time. He can send an email, give him an email address or email him to. Because now he seems to be, taking it as broken as you say. We can't work like that.
See your hand is up, Mr. Bond.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, if I could quickly read what we have here, I will read fast.
No, Chair, at first he did not have anything with him. Now he's having this paper, he's having this. No, he can't make like that. He had nothing at first.
Honorable members, raise your hands so that orderly. We can then engage on the matter. Can you repeat yourself, Honorable Charlie?
No, I'm saying, Chair,
you can give the gentleman a few minutes to go and phone his office to email this information to us. We'll give him an email address. And instead of
giving us this piece of paper now, this piece of information now, then they say that's all I have. And 2 minutes later, he pulls another paper from where I, you know, and says, this is all I have. We can't work like that. We want information that we want. So if he has got this information, he must give it to us now. If he don't have that, he must ask for it from his office.
Honorable Moss, on the same subject?
Yeah, Jay, I totally agree with what my colleague is saying. Say, I think we are not here to come to play. We are here to protect, even for him, to protect the people of South Africa. So if you be called by Parliament to come to present something, you're supposed to come ready. And if you don't have information, then you link with your counterpart and get that information. I don't think, say, we can just drag in this thing. He must, as you was making that rule in the beginning, let the gentleman excuse himself for 5 minutes and get his presentation, whatever, in order, and then come to present it, so that everyone can have a copy in front of him. Thank you very much.
Honorable Schmidt, on the same subject?
Mr. Chair, I think we're wasting time. Can I suggest that the copies of that document be made, distributed to us, that Mr. Uberoth continue with his presentation, and then we have an opportunity later on to engage him on that particular letter, because then we're at least making progress. There's a lot of people here would rather have make their presentation than wait for what we want to do.
Okay, I think you've raised your views. As I suggested earlier on, Mr. Oberholzer, let's give you time. Meanwhile, we're listening to TransX, and once you're ready and once the copies of whatever information you have is ready, then you give me an indication. Then we will give you a space then. Thank you very much for now. Can we have TransX taking us through their presentation? When you're ready, introduce your delegation and take us through. Is there... no, switch over. It's fine. How many are you? Are you four? Are you five? Only the two of you. Then can we ask Honorable Murray just to shift one sitter, please? Because there are two. They're going to sit there now because of these terminals, connecting terminals. Machine working here, is it? Connected so long. Are you from the? Are you from Alexco? From Namakwa? Trust fund. Okay. please introduce yourselves and take us through.
Chairperson of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources, the Honourable Mr. Fred Gorner, members of Parliament present here today, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Llewellyn Delport, and today I'm going to give you, from a Transnet perspective, the history of the state royalty we've been paying to the Namakwaland Diamond Fund Trust. I'm going to tell you why we are paying, and simply how we determine the payment. And then I'm going to close by telling you how much we have paid to date. So, ladies and gentlemen, in 1990, in terms of the Precious Stones Act of 1964, Transnet and the South African state entered into a notarial lease agreement. In terms of Clause 8 of this agreement, it was provided that a payment of 5% royalty of the gross income, this is of the gross revenue of the sale of diamonds, was to be paid to the following entities. Half a percent was to be paid to the state, and 4.5% was to be paid to the Small Business Development Corporation at the time. And ladies and gentlemen, and honorable members, that was duly done. In 1991, the Department of Mineral and Energy, at that time, directed that the 4.5% portion of the royalty then payable to the Small Business Development was to be paid to the House of Representatives. And clearly at that point, the balance, the 0.5%, was still to be paid to the state, and that was done by Transnet. In 1993, self-same Department of Mineral and Energy, the DME, decreed that the 0.5% portion of the royalty then payable to the state should be stopped. In 1994, the DME decreed that the state royalty then payable to the House of Representatives was to be paid to the Namakwaland Diamond Fund Trust. And from Transnet's perspective, this starts the process that ends here today. What is then the authority or basis for payment from a Transnet perspective, and why have we been paying every time we sell? To Transnet, this is in terms of a firm legal obligation, in terms of the notarial mineral lease of 1990, which was then moved forward, all the terms and conditions of this lease was moved forward in terms of the Mineral Act, and of late by the MPRDA. So currently, we are still paying to the Namakwaland Diamond Fund Trust. So until February 2010, as was said by speakers earlier, we made the calculation in terms of the percentage, 4.5% of the gross revenue at every sale. Straight after the sale, we pay into the account of the trust. And since March 1, 2010, this calculation is done to the new legislative formula. It is our understanding that we should still be paying to the trust. However, if you direct us otherwise, you know, as before, as in 91, as in 93, as in 94, Transnet will follow the decree from the Department of Mineral Resources as the either state royalty and the state. We've heard now from Mr. Oberholzer said that this royalty is to be paid to the SAR, and in the event that Mineral Resources decides that, Transnet will have no option but to pay in terms of the new legislated formula to whoever it is you decide. In terms of audited financials, Transnet has to date paid 317 South African million rand to the trust, and I will take any questions members may have on what it is we want.
That is the briefing, honorable members. Straightforward to the point, but engage. Honorable Schmidt, what other hands do I see? Honorable Matibela, Honorable Mons, Honorable Nyegembe, Honorable Kululu, in that line for now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The I think it's been, you can't put it more clearer than that. I think the owners now shift over to the other side, if I may put it that way. Do you have any, except for paying to that fund, any further dealings with the fund by virtue of being a trustee or a shareholder, or in terms of any other agreement to manage that fund? Do you have any other form of interaction? And if so, what is it? What is the form of interaction? And B, I don't want to put it in one big question, but the accountability of that fund and who does it ultimately rest? Probably with the trustees of that fund, but it comes back to, have you been, are you a trustee or, and are you involved? Thank you.
Please note those questions. Yes, Honorable Masibane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think my question was going to be similar to that one, because I just wanted to know, do you have any report backs of the trust fund, and who is monitoring the trust fund? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moss.
Thanks, Jay. Jay, I know the. He said in 1999, the 5% was, no, 0.5% was for the state, and 4.5% was for small business development corporations. And I want to know who was those people who, because if you have a business development trust corporation, they are supposed to be telling who are the people under that body. So, in how did that percentage be allocated? Because everyone can read this thing, but you don't understand the thing. I think it must be explained as well.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nyagamba.
I think the question that I wanted to ask, it has been raised. Earlier, because I wanted to know as to of now they are confident that they paid 370 million rand to the trust, whether they were able when they started to pay to the trust, were they following of what is it that is done by the trust in relation to the development of the community in that area? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khululu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question, I'm not sure whether I should ask the department or I should ask TransX. I don't know who to direct this question to, but I just want to find out as to who decides on who to pay that fund to. Is it the company itself, TransX, or it's Parliament that decides as to who should pay the royalties to? Because now I can realize that they say the 4.5% has to be paid to the South African Revenue Services. So I just wanted to find out who decides on that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The last question will come from Honorable Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know from TransX, since they actually contributed to this fund since 1994, we are in the year 2010. I want to know if, as a contributor to this fund, have they annually received statements of this trust fund or any form of correspondence how this fund is distributed, or any form of communication from the fund side to them as a contributor to this fund. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sondo.
Thank you very much, sir. What was the instructive note? I know you were saying on the basis of legal obligation, but one would want to understand clearly what was the instructive note and the source thereof that made you to pay these royalties directly to the trust fund. Did I hear you correctly that contrary to what we heard from the department, this money is not paid to SARS, it's paid to the trust fund. Am I correct? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to you, sir.
Chairperson, firstly, most of the questions that were related to our involvement in the process, I think it did answer. Sorry, honourable member. Is best answered by saying that Transx is the source of funds to the trust as part of the original notorial mineral lease, and thereafter the trust fund rules. Transx has appointed there and has always had appointed there one trustee. So Transx does attend the meetings of the trust. Transx in no way, shape or form has a controlling interest there, because this is a community trust. As far as our understanding goes, you know, just about the whole of Namakoland Bar, maybe one or two towns are represented there, and the communities decide, and we are present. So we will see financial statements, we will be part of deliberations, but we certainly, our vote, we've never thought actually anyway counts. And we pay in terms of a legal mineral lease right at the beginning when Transx was founded. You know, these mineral leases were, you know, this is the Precious Stone Act of 1964. So this is what gives you legitimacy or legal standing in terms of the law. You know, at the time, which was then, you know, succeeded by the Minerals Act, then the MPRDA, and that, I think, answers the question as to, you know, the legitimacy or the legality of why it is to us this is a firm obligation to pay. The question as to whether to pay SARS or not, our interpretation currently is that until the DME actually tells us, you know, that we should now not pay, because people now have what I would call an existing right under the mineral lease and everything that we believe also is superseded by the Royalty Act. So if you ask me specifically, what has Transx done? Transx has paid SARS in terms of the legislated formula at the end of March when we had the sale, and we entered into discussions with the Makwaland Diamond Fund Trust to say to them what it is I said to you. We think if we read all this documentation, we think that chances are good that the state will allow you to continue getting this, but we then made an arrangement with them whereby we will pay them a nominal number to keep them going, because we also thought that this was going to end up in some kind of, let's call it, you know, with some kind of decision that was made. I can't tell you historically, because there was a question on, you know, what happened in 1990. And what I can say to you, in 1990, the Small Business Development Corporation, the older people will recall it as the Claim Saka on Vikkelings Corporation. This was a countrywide organization to stimulate small business. So, and this was clearly decreed by the Department of Mineral and Energy at the time. There was a state royalty to be paid. It was 0.5%. The state could have decreed that the full 5% was to be paid to the fiscus. The state decided that 0.5% was to be paid in a formal legal mineral notarial lease agreement, that 0.5% was to be paid to the fiscus, and 4.5% was to be paid to the then Claim Saka on Vikkelings Corporation. As far as certainly Transx's understanding at the time went, this was simply part of having a mining title. In these days we would call it mining title or mining right, and with the mining right comes obligations. These days mining rights come with social and labor plan obligations. In those days this was one of the terms and obligations of the mineral rights in what I would call today's terms. Finally, Chair, just in case I missed something, to us, Transx, this is a state royalty paid in terms of a notarial mineral lease agreement, paid
eventually to the Namakwaland Diamond Fund Trust under the MPRDA, and Transx awaits decision as to who to pay to now. We know clearly that the royalty access that SARS is to be paid, but however, we also have the history and we also have this trust in which, as far as we can see, Northern Cape government is active and we will abide by whatever decision is taken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question now is, who, as a trustee of the Namakwaland Development Fund Trust, who is the responsible individual to account for the management of the trust? Who does the committee call to say, this is the status of the fund, this is what the trust has been doing or not been doing, and these are the concerns regarding the trust? Who is the responsible individual or group of individuals you would recommend the committee determine? You're one of the trustees, I mean, that I understand, but the answer would normally be the trustees, but would you be able to speak on behalf of the trust fund? That's my question.
From our perspective, absolutely not. We are not in control of the trust. We are a trustee. The people responsible for answering the questions on the trust, the monitoring of the trust, the operations of the trust, the management of the trust are present here, and I think are well capable to for themselves, you know, answer. You know, I can't even tell you that I myself have deep details of the trust deed, of the trust articles, of the, you know, the exact rules to which they decide things. I think they are best equipped. This is a complete organization with non-executive directors, with executive management, you know, and I think, you know, duly appointed, you know, through the master, I think, you know, they are best suited to answer these questions.
Honorable Santo.
Thank you, Chairperson. CEO, would you say, therefore, the royalties that you are paying to the trust or to the fund trust are used in your understanding as a group, are used according to what you are giving that that portion to them for? Would you say that? What I want to say is that, is this money serving the purpose for which it is meant, in your view?
Honorable member, when the trust, not the trust, when the royalty was decided upon and decided by in the mineral lease in 1990 between Transx Group and the state, it was then decided that we were to pay to the Small Business Development Corporation. We did that for a couple of years, and when we paid over that money, we gave the money to the then called Clan SACA or Small Business Development Corporation, and Transx did not follow what it is they do with the money in any great detail. And that continued because we only have the one trustee. From time to time, we would try and influence decisions, but in a very similar to in politics, we do not have a controlling vote or a controlling stake there, and the community, and we believe honestly, you know, rightfully or wrongfully, the community is right to actually decide, you know, what it is they want to do with the money. In terms of the direct question, do we think the money was either appropriately or is being appropriately spent? We act in terms of, you know, our legal obligation, and I can't tell you that we, because we deal with communities in the Makwaland, in the rest of the Northern Cape, you know, here and there in Limpopo, you know, in Angola, we actually have found it very bad business to actually, you know, pronounce on what it is communities decide for themselves in the great scheme of things. And I hope that, you know, honorable members find that acceptable.
Yeah, maybe in terms of the information you've given us, the total figure of 370 million, is this amount paid to the trust fund since 1994, or is it a period before then?
because when we look at your slides, in 1994, the decree was that you redirect this money from the then House of Representatives to this Namakwa Development Trust Fund. Is that 370 million representative of that time period?
Chairperson, that is my understanding.
Excellent. Honourable members, I would suggest that for now we relieve Transex, because we need to get the totality of the picture. Let's get the Namakwa Diamond Far Trust Fund to then address us, but don't go away, because there might be questions that might be coming to you. Take a seat somewhere else, yes. Because what we're looking at is, it's a pity that the department is still collating this information, because we need to know the purpose and the objectives of this trust, hence the contribution made. So, but let's get the picture from the trust fund. Please introduce your delegation, or allow them to introduce themselves so that we can hear their voices, and also they can then be at ease and feel welcome in Parliament. But introduce yourselves first, and whoever constitutes your delegation would introduce themselves. Thank you.
Honourable Chair and all the dignitaries here present, we would like to thank you for the opportunity to brief you on the Namakwa and Diamond Fund Trust. We will speak on the aspects of governance, the presentation from the different communities, as well as the operations and the financial state of the trust. I will introduce myself. I'm Margaret Williams, the CEO of the Diamond Fund Trust. And present here, we've got the trustees as well as members of the personnel. Thank you.
Yourself,
sir.
Okay.
I'm Gavin Roach from the IT department. Thank you.
From what department?
IT.
Within the trust fund?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, thanks, members of the House. Myself is Zaev Basson. I representing the Pella community on the trust.
Thank you. Cheers off, please. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Marvin Kluter. I'm the chairperson of the Namakwa and Diamond Fund Trust, elected on the 14th of June this year, and I'm representing the community of Lilyfontein East in the Kamiesberg municipality area. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, I'm Ingrid Kluter. I'm in the finance department of the Namakwa and Diamond Fund Trust.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Judy Hollenbach, and I'm the manager, financial and investment. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Mrs. Leonore van der Neefer. I'm a trustee. I represent the Northern Cape Provincial Government on the trust.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, honourable chair. I'm very glad that we can represent our today. And I'm very proud to be one of the trustees, because our key factors is to reduce poverty in Namakwaland, and we stand for that the people of Namakwaland have a better life. I am Matthew Kluti from Concordia, one of the communities who we serve by the Namakwaland Diamond Fund Trust. Thank you.
Morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Sia Lena. I'm the Provincial Representative on the Namakwa Diamond Fund Trust. Thanks.
Provincial is the Provincial Government.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
I am Willem Kuta from the Reverse World Communities. Thank you.
Is that all? Okay. Thank you very much. Take us through.
We have prepared a presentation that will run automatically. You are welcome to send questions, ask questions, and we will pause. And at the end of the presentation, we will...
Pull the mic closer to you, please.
At the end of the presentation, there will also be ample time if we are allowed to ask to answer questions. We are going to start with the presentation now. Thank you. Can we just have the screen change, please? We will start with the overview of the Namakwan Diamond Fund Trust.
Welcome to an overview of the Namakwaland Diamond Fund Trust. The four sections to be discussed are background and introduction, corporate governance, operations, and finance. Background and introduction. We are going to be looking at the founding and history of the NDFT, our vision, mission, and values, our main objectives, and then our beneficiaries. Founding and history. The foundation of the Namakwaland Diamond Fund Trust goes back to 1964, when the then Minister of Mines appointed an advisory committee to the granting of prospecting rights to the view to developing the diamond reserves of the region. Let's look at the timeline leading up to the establishment of the NDFT. In 1964, the minister granted prospecting rights to the Coloured Development Corporation, the CDC, and the CDC receives 5% of gross income. In 1981, the CDC's rights and responsibilities are taken over by the Small Business Development Corporation, the SBDC, and from 1981 to 1990, the SBDC focuses on small business development in rural areas. And then, in 1994, Transnet initiates broad consultation process, resulting in the formation of the NDFT on 24 April 1994. The original investment, as well as further royalties, are kept in trust. Our vision to be the best development agent in its important area of service. In this, the trust envisions empowered beneficiaries taking their rightful place in the global market, enjoying a good quality of life, and ultimately being capable of unlocking the region's inherent potential. Our mission are focusing on economic, social, and education deliverables to continually strive to render outstanding service independently in partnership with other stakeholders towards the complete upliftment of the Namakwaland people. Our values, purpose-driven. We focus on the consistent achievement of objectives which are based on the needs of our stakeholders. Honesty. Our behavior is open and transparent, and we pride ourselves on being trustworthy without any hidden agenda. Dedication. We demonstrate passion and perseverance in what we do and strive for quality output based on diligence and attention to detail. Accountability. We accept full responsibility for our actions in all that we do and give continuous feedback to our stakeholders. And lastly, objectivity. Our actions are even-handed without bias or prejudice. Our beneficiaries reside in the so-called main areas, with several of them having adopted areas. They stand up in the northwest, with Bulletrop, Buffalo Strathies, with Gullies, Komachas, with Honest Labai, and then towards the southwest, Lilyfontein Base, with Lebelsfontein. Moving over towards the east, Lilyfontein West, with Kamieskroon and Subartfontein. Then there's Central with a number of adopted areas, Kalkip, Nababik, Bergster, Maikieskloof, Karlusberg, Palwader, Tjebulgas and Fonteinkie. And then there's Concordia, similarly with Rooibal, Beeldrift, Rooiwinkel, Henkries, Goodhouse being its adopted areas. And lastly, there is Pella towards the northeast, with Tidbank, Oenkiep, Hans, Hofadder, and Algenees. The NDFT has three main objectives. Firstly, to administer an educational fund, to act as a charitable institution, and lastly, to actively cooperate with anybody pursuing similar objectives. We will cover four areas under corporate governance: the board of trustees, the committee structure, the NDFT organogram, and lastly, regulatory measures. The board of trustees and its constitution. The trust is overseen by a board of 14 non-executive trustees. 9 trustees are nominated and elected in strict compliance with particular criteria as per the trust deed by beneficiaries in the respective main areas. Then there are 4 provincial trustees. They are nominated by the founder, the government of the Republic of South Africa. And lastly, there is a representative trustee from Transex, the main source of funding. All trustees are assumed by the Master of the High Court for a period of 5 years, and the trust deed was specifically amended for an extended time of office to allow for continuity and improve long-term planning. The roles and responsibilities of trustees. The trustees' main function is that policy making and oversight, and also are governed comprehensively amongst others by the Trust Property Control Act, by the NDFT's deed of trust, by common law, by the Financial Intelligence Center Act, the FICA Act, and then the NDFT's operational policy incorporating a trustee's code of conduct. In the main, they serve as interface at 3 levels. Firstly, between communities and their needs, and the trust and its ability to provide support. There, the so-called area trustees will fill a role. Then between governmental directors and strategy, and the trust needs and priorities, and the provincial trustees come into play. And lastly, between the trust and its main funder, Transex, with the Transex three together. The board of trustees is obliged to meet every second month, and trustees give feedback to the respective beneficiary areas at least once per annum. importantly to the Board of Trustees, we have the committee structure. There is the Executive Committee with a number of standing committees, namely administration with a subcommittee with a disaster fund, the finance, budget and investment, education and training, and lastly, support, culture and marketing. The NDST organogram. Supporting to the Board of Trustees, we have a Chief Executive Officer with two subordinate managers, one for education and training, the other for finance, specifically investment and internal audit. Three more incumbents at the next tier reporting to the CEO, the Senior Financial Officer, the Administrative Officer, and the Administrator. The Senior Financial Officer has a financial system that's reporting to the division, and so does the Manager Education and Training have an administrative clerk for education and training. The Administrative Officer has three subordinate and admin assistants, switchboard and reception, and then the casino. We will be considering five regulatory measures. Firstly, legislation, then the subsidy, the operational policy of the NDST, professional support, and lastly, continuous improvement. Legislation. The main pieces of legislation governing the operations of the NDST are the Trust Property Control Act of 1988 and, of course, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa Act of 1986. In terms of support, the infrastructure establishment, the NDST takes cognizance of, amongst others, the Housing Act and the Social Housing Act. In terms of its general operations as a legal entity, the NDST conforms, amongst others, to the Non-Profit Organisations Act of 1997, as well as the Companies Act, as recently amended. In terms of the management of its human resources, the NDST observes and is guided by, amongst others, the Labour Relations Act, the Employment Equity Act, and the Skills Development Act. The trust is least. The NDST is governed by a founding statement as embodied in the deed of trust, namely the establishment of an independent trust which will exclusively apply royalties earned from diamond mining activities in the rural management council areas of Namaqualand for the improvement of the quality of life of the inhabitants of the rural management council areas. Professional support. Corporate governance has always been viewed as non-negotiable, and in this, the auditory controls of the trust auditors, located to see, incorporated, and reports submitted to the Auditor General are fully welcomed and supported. In addition, the NDST relies on professional input and guidance from the following entities: technical, DAR technical, investment, Sterling, Property Investment, Contaba, and Legal, Edward Mason, Sponsors. Operational Policy. The Operational Policy of the NDST embodies all the regulatory conventions, guidelines, principles, and procedures which direct the day-to-day operations of the trust, ensure compliance with the trust needs and all relevant legislation, streamline the efforts with the provision of best practice processes and procedures, provide for corrective measures and the imposition of appropriate sanctions where needed. Continuous improvement, amongst other key measures are taken, strategic planning workshops, on a periodic basis, information sessions, skill development for trustees and staff, and also the dedication of the Senior Excellence Award. NDST operations. We will be looking at four subsections, the three divisions, achievements and successes, future challenges, and also some supporting documentation. The three divisions operating at the Trust are education and training, charity, and also administration. Administration. The admin department executes a complete range of admin functions related to the fund, give effect to those decisions, and is guided by the operational policy. There is a performance management system which ensures that creation of output, review mechanisms, formal performance appraisals, remedial plans, and corrective actions. These are conducted by the head of the department. They are supplemented with weekly planning and reporting on a quarterly basis. Based on this, there would be some amendments and consolidation for reporting out to the admin committee, and then report to the board of trustees. Charity. Firstly, the value added in terms of infrastructure. There are clinics, schools, libraries, community halls, mortuaries and dams. There was the tarring of the Pella Road, the education of the justice staff in coming back areas, and also, of course, the Kudus Water Division, the pipeline. There was also the building of houses to the value of more than 2 million rand in 2006 and 2007, and numerous installation of satellite towers for TV reception in various areas. Charity in the next area in terms of value add would be social welfare. There is contributions in terms of HIV/AIDS programs and home-based care consumables, food parcels and blankets. There's contributions to the Cancer Association, old age homes and institutions for people with special needs, and care specifically upgrading and funding of operational costs. Primary health care, for instance, eye care, financial support for funerals, assistance to refugees for legal documentation, very importantly, coordination and support for rehabilitation, for instance, for substance abuse, and lastly, but certainly not the least, support of institutional relationships amongst inmates and their families. The last area of contribution in terms of charity would be for sport, arts, and culture. There's a certain sporting activity at various levels, even up to national level. There's, of course, the sponsorships, and the NDT is the main sponsor of the Daisy Marathon. And then, of course, the upgrading of sports grounds in various areas. Education and training. Firstly, awarded for secondary education, tertiary education, and also skills training. Supporting them for programs, for intervention programs, for grade 12, inclusive programs for primary schools, and also programs for people with special needs. There's the support to the Namaqualand FET College, special programs for instance internships and learnerships, financial assistance to schools, for instance equipment and for programs, and lastly, additional support for skilled professionals in the field of mathematics, computer science, and for medical staff. Successes and achievements. The NDFT's role in the Namaqualand as an empowering agent of note has been a journey of successes and achievements over the past 15 years. To illustrate the purposes, the following achievements are highlighted. From an initially budgeted figure of 350,000 rand per annum for education and training at its inception, the trust's contribution has increased exponentially to top more than 8 million rand for 2008 going into 2009, and even under dire economic constraints, the budget for 2010-11 is still 5.4 million rand. Over the years, thousands of scholars and students have benefited from bursaries and grants, many of whom have excelled from rural groups, stamping their prowess internationally in the global marketplace. In terms of infrastructure, the NDFT went beyond the call of duty to strengthen local government. Not only did the trust elevate the quality of life of its beneficiaries, but left a lasting legacy in the form of fixed assets which they donated to the respective municipalities. 80% of the total program cost for school sports activities or codes is funded by the NDFT. Some codes which have been neglected, such as boxing, swimming and tennis, are now enjoying special attention. The trust also contributes on the cultural front in funding transport and equipment for participants in local, provincial and even international events. And for instance, the traditional Kudu dances, such as of Turkey, is a prime example. There are a number of future challenges, most notably legislative changes with regard to mining and the earning of royalties may well impact the NDFT adversely. Coupled to that, the downscaling and closure of mines and the consequent increased dependency on the trust for support and contributions. There's a lack of boarding facilities for students at the Namaqualand FET College, and this has a bearing on keeping the cost down and the funding and support within the region. And then there's the challenge of establishing partnerships where partners really fulfill their obligations as strategic alliances and do not only rely on the trust as the sole or main contributor. Background and introduction. The criteria for investment which the trust has put out in adhere to today would be not to lose any capital at any time. Secondly, to achieve a return that beats inflation as measured by the CPIS. And thirdly, to maximize the risk-adjusted return of the portfolio as such.
Classes of investment, as you can see, we are investing in property as well as in the domestic products. We have increased our, or we have tried to increase our income by investing in property and not only with asset managers and banks.
NDC Properties Pty Limited. The rationale for establishing this company was to broaden the income base of the NDST to not only be dependent on royalties. Current investments include the DMW property in Boxburg, Gauteng, the Novo Precinct Partnership Investment, and also 5 Greenway in the northern suburbs of Cape Town. There is currently an investigation about the possibility of establishing an office park in Springbok, Baxter, which would offer a one-stop center for government departments on service delivery. These pictures depict the BMW property which was purchased in Boxburg, Gauteng. It is a property which holds tremendous promise for the future, from a good capital gain and quite responsible view on the current economic circumstances and of course at the chip tenant to eat. This is an aerial picture of the lower precinct site in which NDSD Properties Pty Limited has a shareholding. This is a site elevation of 5 Greenway Drive, a property purchased in the northern suburbs, which holds excellent potential for capital gain, but also serves as accommodation and lecturing facilities for staff and trustees, stakeholders, when visiting Cape Town. The NDFT's value add is tangible in terms of the vast number of individual NDFTs. They have benefited from the trust support in 1994, leading in terms of education, welfare, infrastructure, etc. In fact, without the trust ongoing support, owners across the spectrum in the Makgalang will find themselves in dire straits financially. The NDFT is indeed a unique agent of empowerment and change in the Makgalang and has become part of its social fabric. As demonstrated over the past 15 years, the ongoing existence of the NDFT is of vital importance for enhancing the quality of life for the people of the Makgalang and also for updating the government initiatives, especially at local government level.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to put forward a status report on the NDFT as at this forum. We trust that it is clear that the way forward, in fact, the only in which the NDFT can continue to add value in terms of its calling is to partner with all stakeholders and in particular enjoy the support of the government towards the consumed earnings of royalties as its finance base. We thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, this is the presentation. The tea is ready, it's going to get cold, but just before that, few observations that we would want you to, some of the things that we would want you to look at so that you give us some totality of the information. Firstly, is to say that we are impressed that here is the body of the representatives of the community grappling with matters pertaining to the community of Northern Cape. To us, it would be, you know, an encouraging fact that you are handling matters in your own hands and you are determining your own destination. So that's one angle. The other angle is that seated here, it's like I'm sitting in the boardroom of De Beers or in the boardroom of Anglo-American in terms of the presentation you give us. You know, it's so high level and world class that it's the kind of presentation you get in boardrooms. And however, you know, you are a non-profit organization and an organization that is looking after the interest of community, instead of these systems that you are showing us so proudly. We want to see the real situation. We've been there, remember. We've been on the ground. So the other matter is you are too mean on your finances. We've asked you to bring along your audited financial statement. It's not here. So when we break for tea, we want you to make up your mind on this matter. We used to get these presentations, but we look beyond what do they mean? But in your situation, we are fortunate because you are telling us of something that we have seen on the ground. I'm sure members will ask you to unpack some of these general statements that you're making. You're quite broad. That's why I'm saying it's world-class presentation. When marketing, agents of companies are pumping you with information. And indeed, we wanted to get to know. We're public representatives. We wanted to get to know what is it that you're doing that impacts positively on the people on the ground, not these general statements that you're giving us. So if you want to revise yourself, we're giving you an opportunity whilst we're drinking tea, but also tell us where is the auditor to go. We don't want you to tell us what the auditor says, as you're saying in one page. We want to see that so that we then are able to make up our own minds in terms of that. Honourable members, let's break for tea, 5:10. New information that they've got, and based on the observations we've made just before we broke for tea, over to you, Madame.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to take the committee and the delegates here through the projects that have been completed since 1995 up till 1999. 2007, and then, 2010. I will start with the projects that we got when the trust was founded in 1994. As you heard, the money has been administered by the Small Business Development, and after that it was handed over to the Department of Local Government. I don't know whether it was it's this name still, or but Mr. Duncan McHenry, the former, he was the director general, and he was the chairperson of the trust at that time. After that, he has been followed up by another director general of the Northern Cape, Mr. Martin van Sail. But nevertheless, in 1995, we got unfinished business from the previous administration. And we had to complete all the community halls that had been erected by or started by the previous administration. That was in 1995 in Lelyfontein North, the Richtersveld North, that includes Kubus and Sandrift,
and the Rachtersveld South includes Extienfontein and Lekkersum. And those are the projects for 1995 that we finished in, that we finished. On your right-hand side, you can see what we have spent or the expenditure on those different projects. In 1996, we built a clinic, a well-equipped clinic in the Concordia area for the amount of $253,462. In Comahus, we spent money on computer room and library in 1996. We paid $359 for that. In the Lilyfontein area, what we did is that all the community halls was just left unfinished and uncompleted, so we had to start with a few, complete that, and then the next year we continue to complete the rest. In 1979, we built the clinic in Concordia, the Comahus Library, we erected a TV dish, and we also upgrade the police offices there. The Lilyfontein, we bought...
Sorry, have you got that? In writing somewhere in this document you gave us?
No, it's just an attachment to the presentation, but we can email it. Or would you like
everybody
some copies now?
Everybody got this thing. Can you speak and take those copies? This thing.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We had projects over certain years. It was rolling. Sometimes it was rolling over to the next year because of the quality of the equipment we had to fund. In Comahus in 1998, we upgraded the municipal and the teachers' residence. Lilyfontein, we bought generators. That was before we had electricity installed in the Lilyfontein area. Creches, clinics and libraries, Pella, a clinic and a library, Rachtersveld North, repairs to the school hall. And in the south, Rachtersveld overnight facilities and equipment for teachers. Steinkopf Ballatrap, in 1998 we started with the electrification projects in the different areas. These are rural areas, water, they've got water problems, they've got problems when it comes to the supply of electricity. We had our own project.
Not complete in 1997. She was still on the TV dish.
On
the dish for the TV.
Library and TV dish, upgrading of police offices, community halls for Lilyfontein, a nursing home for Pella, halls and creches in the Rachtersveld. Remember that I said North and South consist both of two communities, library and water for water supply for Steinkopf. We have finished 1998, so we're getting to 1999. In 1999, we erected the community hall. We also gave attention to the sewage network of Kommagas, Lilyfontein electrification, creches, Pella library and a clinic, Rustersveld North. We bought vehicles for the local government. To do their job. 2000 electrification for the Lekkersang, mortuary for Buffelsrivier, ablution facilities and burglar bars at the sports grounds in Pella, Rustersveld North, still in 2000, sports grounds in the cemetery to the valley of 351212, Rustersveld South, sports fields, TV dish libraries, and in Steinkopf we upgraded the old advice offices. We bought that from the local church, and we upgrade the offices to accommodate certain entrepreneurs and other important services for Steinkopf. Concordia, we started in 2001 with the hall there, the community hall. Lilyfontein, the clinic, Axman, fencing, aircons and hall, Pella aircons for the hall, dressing rooms and sports grounds, Rustersveld North, teachers, residents. I just want to show you some of the photos, the projects that we started and completed. Rustersveld South, Lakeside Recreational Office, Steinkopf Advice Offices, Concordia, that's the upgraded sport grounds for Concordia. In 2003, we had the President of the Republic of South Africa in our region, the Mr. Becky, and he requested that the NDFT to contribute towards the housing problem or the housing project there. We built about 37 houses for the amount of 1375. Those are some of the houses. Here's a picture of the community hall in Kommagas, Sandruff, upgrading of the school, Kubus, more fencing, Lekkersang, upgrading of the hall, Buffelsrivier sports grounds in 2006-07, Buffelsrivier sports grounds, a continuation of the project that was started the previous year, Estienne Fontein, sports grounds and ablution facilities, Sandra sport grounds and netball courts to the valley of 2040. Still during the same year, Kubus brickmaking project, Lekkersang brickmaking project. The reason for that is when we have a project in the different communities, we want to give the local people a chance to earn some money and to use the money or get the money back to the community. Lekkersang brickmaking, upgrading community hall, Lekkersang sports grounds. We started the sports grounds in this year. Lekkersang nursing home,
Lelyfontein East Community Hall and TV Towers, Lelyfontein West TV Dishes, Stella Youth Center, and Lightning Entrepreneur Center. And then I just want to get to the planned projects for 2010-11. Here we have the area and the name of the project, the progress that we have made up till now with the project. The following projects was planned for 2010-11. Buffelsrivier Straatlichte, street lights is already 100% completed. The Buffelsrivier Extienfontein fencing of the netball area. We are still busy gaining quotations. The policy is that we must get tenders, or we must get a certain number of quotations, and it is being evaluated by the project and investment committee, and after that it we get the approval of the board. Omheining van die skool besig met kwotasies, Extienfontein with the fencing of the begraafplaas there, Kommergas upgrading of the morgue, upgrading of the clinic is 100% completed. Kubus upgrading van die lakeside 100%. We started a internet cafe in Kubus, or that was one of the priorities of the people of Kubus, and it has been 100% completed, and it's also been used by the school and the teachers that are doing the further their studies. Kubus upgrading of the street lights. Parken for Kubus. These are some of the projects that are going to start during 2010, and it's going to roll over to 2011. Holzhoek, remember that we already mentioned that we have our main areas and that we have the adopted areas. In some of the adopted areas, like Rooiwinkel, we had erected a clinic 2 years or 3 years ago, and in terms of the allocation for adopted areas, we weren't allowed to do it in terms of the budgeting structure, but we did that, and the trust is really doing its utmost in controlling the quality of projects, gaining the input of the communities, gaining the input of the local government. We sit with the different, we are working in 4 different municipalities, and we are meeting with them to gain their input, to strike partnerships like the hall in Steinkopf. We had the skills input as well as the financial on the steering fund of the Beers group, and the inauguration function, somebody from the Beers mentioned that it was a good example of good project management. So these are the projects. That's what the trust was doing since 1995. I was working for the trust
even before it, the trust was founded in 1994, and for years some part-time selecting the students and advertising to the rural areas that year that we have some money, we can go study. And then we helped with that, but the trust came into being in 1994, and then I started working for the trust. So I experienced a lot of what happened, and I was also part of that. I'm not really saying that to blow my own.
Okay, madam.
Yeah.
Time challenges. I think you've given us a list of the experience of what projects have you done. What projects are you still thinking about in terms of your future projects? The other leg of your financial performance?
We just have given you a file on the policy as well as the financial statements. I don't know how you want me to present it to you. Must I go through everything, or do you want a summary of that? And if we get there, I would like the manager on investments and finance to present the summary on the financial statement. Please, Julie. Okay. I'll give over to Mrs. Hollenbach. Thank you.
Can you give us the status of these documents, Mrs. Who?
Julie Hollenbach.
Hollenbach. The set of documents I have before me, one dated 28 February 2007, the other one dated 28 February 2009, are financial statements for those year endings. Now there's this thick document which also gives us the financial statements for 28 February 2004. We haven't got that. Now, you need to explain to us if these are audited financial statements and the audit opinion. I see here you've got PricewaterhouseCoopers. Are they your auditors? So that you can give us the entire background, and also of importance to us, so that we will read some of the information you gave us. Is how much income did you receive, and show us that, and what were the sources of that income and the expenditure. So you've shown us here that you've got these projects that are running, just for us to have the feel of those finances. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Honorable Chair, I don't think that we have the finances, a copy like this on the finance, but we will explain, and we will ask Mrs. Hollenbach to do that. We agree on the income of 370 million over the past 10 years. I also want to state that these the financial statements has been our books has been audited by Pricewaterhouse, and the current auditors is LDP Loubser and Duplessis Incorporated. Judy, will you continue with the discussion, please?
Also tell us whether the contributors are only Transact. You mentioned the involvement of DPS, but tell us who else contributes, because the 370 is from Transact.
We Transex is our main contributor, but we also receive now and then from UNA, but for the past UNA mine, a very small mine near to Buffelsbank, but for the past 3 years they were not mining anymore, and we didn't receive anything from them. Transex is the main contribution, contributor, and that's the only funding that we receive in terms of royalties now.
Pricewaterhouse was our auditors from 1994 up to 2008, and LDP is our current auditors. We requested a financial statement from 1994 up to 2000 from Pricewaterhouse, and they're still busy collecting it, and they will forward it to us if they have it ready. The financial statement we have in front of us, I think in the file you have in front of you, there's figures from 2000, and that loose package that you have is up to 2008-2009 financial year. So to start, I think, is there a specific year, or must I go from 2000 or 2004, or is there...
Africans, Honorable Murray, can we rely on you? No, he's going to give us legal jargon on that. Okay, are you ready, madam?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
Which document are we talking to?
We're looking at the year 2009 financial year.
17 November.
Yes, that was signed on the 17th of November by the previous chairperson.
Gathering or the committee that the financial statements are also in this annual report that you will find in your file on your desk.
Page 13 of the annual report 2008-2009. For the financial year 2008-2009, ending 28th of February 2009, our income was 25.206 million 045 from royalties that we received from TransX. The operating cost was 49.6 million, and this is specified in the annual report on page
pages 12. Explanatory, that's 49.6 million. Investment income was 13.2 million. And we had a loss of 8.9 for the 2009 financial year. Thank you.
This is charity fund. Charity fund. Is that your main account? Is that your general account?
The charity fund is our main account. The other one is the educational fund.
Where is that? Where is that shown?
Page 20. The total of expenses for the education fund was 8.2 million. 8.245433.
Talk us through your balance sheet.
You will find the detail on page 12. The amount for property and equipment was 2.5 to 6451 million. Financial assets, that was the investment, was 144,240,618 million. The total, 146,767,069 million. The accounts receivable was amount of 3.1 million. Cash that we received was 11,041,081 million. The totals up to 14,158,193 million. The total assets for 2009 was 160,925,262 million. Any questions?
We are the honorable members. You don't want to talk to us through to us entirely on your balance sheet because you got the section that deals with your liabilities.
Sorry. The capital fund value was 174,444,057. The adjustment was made was 8.9 million and the loss was 22.5 million. Total there was 160,846,183 million. Current liabilities, that was trade and other creditors, was 79,079 rand
and that brings the total up to the total equity, assets and liabilities, $160,925,262.
Honorable Maria, can you summarize for us on the auditor's report, mainly on the opinion section? The document, this financial statement on page 3, there is the auditor's is that not the auditor's report?
No.
Oh. No. Page 12 is your balance sheet. Is your balance sheet. What I'm interested in is the auditor's opinion for the same financial year, which is provided in the different set of documents here. Page 3 thereof.
Sorry, sir, what is the status of this document?
These are the latest financial statements, 2008-2009. Financial statements.
The status of the document, not signed.
Well, it should be the auditor's report, my lady.
Always been signed before it is becoming part of the annual report. So if you've got a document that's not been signed, then I don't know what went wrong, but the report is not being approved if it's not signed.
It is signed in the front of the page. It's in November 2009.
By who?
By the previous chairman, Mr. Jay Basson.
No, that is not in order.
You have the auditor's, the audited financial statement, madam, in your trust as we speak.
For 2009.
Yes.
Of course. Yes.
Where is it?
This is the 2008-9 statement.
Do you hear the question from the members? Is that it's signed by your chairperson? The norm is that it must be signed by the auditor for it to be an official document. So there's no signature from the auditor, on especially on the opinion given here. It's signed for by the chairperson, except that thing written LDP. Stellenbosch. There's not even a date. To ask, madam?
We are making a note of that, and we will get back to you on that.
Honorable Mare?
Thank you, sir. I would appreciate if the accountant can just take us to page 3 with the qualifications that have been mentioned in the audit report. That's donations and cash what they've received. That is the two qualifications in the audit report, and that is actually the matter of the crux here. If you've got the qualifications, it needs to be specified in this audit report as on page 3. Otherwise, it seems that
nations and its own case. What paragraph is that?
Page 3 of this audit report.
Paragraph what?
At the bottom.
Content to
art and quality cards. It's a heading.
Oh, okay.
Then skinkings donations, and the next one is content to kinnings is cash that they receive. That is the two qualifications. If you can talk us through those two, that is actually the crux of, I would say, of the audit report.
Thank you. Honourable members, donations. We can't put it in our record beforehand. We not receive the exact figure, so we can't record it in our record.
and the cash to Kennels. There was a problem when checks was made out in cash, and there wasn't weren't enough documentation, but we rectified that, and everything is in order now, 100%.
Let's clarify first the status of this document. I think it's important for us before we move. We're going to engage them generally, but before we admit this document, we need to know, because you see now we're picking up from the translation, thank you very much, Honorable Mare, that there is a serious qualification just for this financial year. Now, this document before us, you say it's from the auditors. It's not either in the letterheads of the auditors, neither is it signed for by the auditors. Did your board approve this document as the audited financial statement?
What we usually do, I so much wish I could explain myself in Afrikaans. Die prosedure gewoonlik is dat ons het kry audit plan, die audit word gedoen, daar was nog nie vir hierdie 15 jaar wat ek by die trust was, kan ek nie onthou of daar ooit audit oorgeslaan was nie. Ek wil nie verskoning maak vir die aard van die dokumente, maar ek kan vir u sê.
This is a translator, don't worry.
Yeah. We haven't skipped any financial year's audit, so maybe this one is not signed. But what we usually do is, or the procedure is, that when after the auditing, it is been approved by the board and it has been signed off by the chairperson of the trust. So if it hasn't been signed or by the auditor, it skipped us, but we didn't have any year for the last 15 years that we didn't have an audit at the end of the financial year. In terms of that serious qualification, I just want to explain that. What happened is that all NGOs who are receiving donations from other donors, they don't know whether it's going to be like the diamond prices are changing, the interest rate is changing, there are other factors that are influencing the price of the diamonds. So we can't predict that next year we're going to get 12 million or 15 million, and that is why there is that qualification. I've requested LDP to prepare a document on that to attach to this, because this is the reason the contant donations or that we have made that has been rectified. We have brought in additional documentation to rest in that, and the other thing is that we can't predict beforehand that we are going to receive 35 million next year, and that is why they say that the auditors put it in as a qualification, because they can only put it on record after we have received that. That is the reason for that qualification.
All right, honourable members, let's open the floor. I see Honourable Moss, Honourable Mare, Honourable Matibela, Honourable Schwed, Honourable Magagule, Honourable Khululu, Honourable Sonto, in that order, please. Over to you, Madam.
Chair, my first one will be on the same matter. I saw that they changed from one auditor to another auditor. My question will be, why did they change from the previous one to the new one? Accordingly, because they say in some way in the financial report that they didn't have enough funding, and then the trustees decide to open the investment so that they can cover up for the cost. But then they appointed a new auditor. I think for me is not clear on the matter. Say even the previous auditor, he did sign that report off, but the new one didn't do so. So how can you not know that the report must be signed off? Say they didn't even mention who are the auditor of that particular company of LDP. That we can know who are the, because the auditor of the previous company, they mentioned his name here, who signed off that report. Chair, I also want to ask the question, who are the permanent board members or trustees of this particular board? If the government put three people here who must present the government, now one, who are the permanent ones of the government on the trustee? They must tell us who the person are, because what I read, that the trustees have only 5 years. Now, I want to know, who are the permanent trustees on this particular board? Okay. Especially when it comes from the government side. Okay. I don't want to make a long story. I think we drag this matter too long. My proposal will be clear, Chair, that this thing must be sent back. This thing must go to the forensic audit, because we can't get things like that, Chair. Rome was not built in one day. We can't read through all these things, though. We don't have the time. Chair, we can't sit the whole day here with others. You go and lunch. After lunch is the Mathia Pastor's review, the minister will speak in the house. So, say, I will propose that this thing must go be sending back. We must really propose for a forensic order that we can get clear what is really going on in this organization. That is my view, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moran.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, I want to thank the trust for all the documentation that you've provided us with. You yourself will accept it's quite difficult to actually go through it like in 10 minutes. It's impossible for me to go through it. But if you can note the following 5 things, I would appreciate if you can respond on those. Number one, going back to this financial report, I just want to make the remark and that Afrikaans says contant toekennings, cash, that you actually, it's a very dangerous thing to make checks out cash wise. You must make it out to companies or institutions. That I don't know what is your financial policy on that, but this is a very dangerous practice, number one. Secondly, I want you, please don't take it wrong what I'm saying now. You are from the area, the Northern Cape. But it seems you make investments in other provinces. I would say you should actually seek to make investments within your own province, because you made an investment now in Boksburg and in Ilovo, and I found it strange, because I would say I would reinvest in my own province, number one. And then secondly, while the two people that sit here at the back is from the province here, I just want to make the remark, you know, I was sitting here and feeling as I was sitting at the municipality making here a presentation on their capital projects for the year. Because infrastructure is the main purpose of any municipality and the province. But I must recommend to the trust what they've done. It's wonderful they've done for the communities. I would rather say they must switch their investment in the line of educational, in the sense of bursaries for people to actually enhance the lives of scholars going to like institutions, more in that line. And the other line should be job creation. I've made notice that they spent money on the upgrading of the Entrepreneur Centrum in Pella, and as well in Lelyfontein, they've got job creation projects. That should be more the focus of this fund in a sense, because job creation will actually give people within that area income where they can better their own lives as well. Because they contribute a lot of money to infrastructure in that area, and I really say that's wonderful done. But the media is starting to question me, what is the municipalities of that area, what are they doing, and what are the province, because it's two representatives of the province of the Northern Cape here. It seems you're taking up the role of municipalities far too much, and you should actually go more in the direction of education and training and job creation in the form of projects. And then the last thing, I would really like you to give me detail on 5 Greenwell Drive, where you've made the investment, because what I've heard, I'm not satisfied what I've heard about that investment. I want detail on that one. Thank you. That's for the moment.
Honorable Matibela. It's not working.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm just interested in the first presentation, which was voice presentation. It was stating that from 1981 and so forth. But the documents which we are having now are documents of 2007 and 8 and 9. I just want to know how is that they can tell us about the previous things presentation. I mean, we should have only got the presentation of the time when they were in charge of the trust, and the trust fund is 370 million today, which they received. So my question will be, because this trust fund is for the beneficiaries of the communities of those places, how many students have they already sent to school? We didn't get that. The other one is, on what Honorable Mare said about the local government, I think really I agree with Honorable Mare to say they really now taking too much of local government, to an extent of buying vehicles for the local government, when beneficiaries have got no schooling, nothing. They are hungry, no jobs, but the money which is supposed to feed the local people is going to buy vehicles for local government. What is the budget doing of the local government? That is my other question. The other one is about the or maybe I should I'll come back to that one. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the Director General of Mineral Resources. He's just joined us. We don't see Mr. Oberholz. Oh, is he here? Okay. So he went to get reinforcement. He went to get reinforcement. Welcome, DG. Let's proceed, Honorable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I will leave the financial aspect to someone who is more knowledgeable on that aspect, but can I just ask, what has the payment of royalties taken place by Transnet since March 2010, since the introduction of the new MPRDA Act? If so, what was the amount? Secondly, for the overall picture, what interaction do you have with the other development trust? I think it's called the Rustersfeld Development Fund Trust. Is there any interaction between yourselves? If so, what kind of interaction? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Magangula. Chairperson, I think we have to tell the trust that we are not here to play. We are not here to play. The number of the delegation that is here, actually the document that you show us, we are not here to play, and we are not here to listen live. The first thing, Chairperson, they lie, they say the auditor side, whereas the chairperson or whosoever signed that the financial report. And then after we questioned, they said it was not been signed. We are not here to play. That is the first thing. Secondly, this issue of the trustees, they are operating like a mafia. They are operating like a mafia in sense of they are making business now. They are making business. That's why they have some shares in Gauteng, wherever, with BMWs and the like. And indeed, they are in business now, not like trustees of the local people there. Another thing, Jefferson, I'm interested to know about the board members. Really interested. Also the old board members and the new one board members, because there is something which that I realize as the CFO, as the CEO speaking, I realize now that there is something fishy. If we can get it from the beginning, who's the board members and goes and goes and goes, we'll get what we want. Another thing, Chairperson, the deal with the local government. You see, that's why we're not playing here. The deal with the local government, you show us all buildings, and we don't trust that this thing has been coming to the trust, or it's because of the deal with the local government, you go there and take the photos of the hall that has been built by the local government and said, this is the deal. Because you give some cars to the local government and not care about the local people of the Northern Cape province. Chairperson, I think we can ask Lord, but really, there is nothing. I've got number of documents. Some are written in Afrikaans, and there is nothing that shows that, no, we are coming there, we are going there. But I've got number of documents which I don't get the proof. I don't get the deed. What is the trust doing? And who's audited the document of the trust? And then Chairperson, I'm tendered to request, after this, to request a serious investigation to the trust itself. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kholulu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me first thank the trust attorney for their presentation. I realize that the advanced technology and it's dazzling, very, very much advanced. We must commend you for that. It's very, very good. I've got a set of questions here. The first one would be on the, I would like to know as to how many beneficiaries they have, that is in total. Do they have that in their database? The second one will be on the, I don't know if I'll be asking too much, it's about the representatives here who are together with the trustee, with the trust from different communities. I'll be interested to know, I don't know if I'll be asking too much, if they do earn a salary, and if so, how much approximately, how much do they earn? And then on the procurement, I see that there's so many projects that they've been doing. And fortunately, I've been part of the entourage with the committee previously when we visited the Northern Cape. And we saw so many halls. We were meeting in halls, of course, community halls and all that. And these projects that they've gave us here, because people were complaining that they don't get any jobs. It's people who come from outside and they do the jobs like construction and all that. So I just wanted to check if you do appoint those local contractors, because it's very, very important to empower them. The last one, Chair, will be on the charity. In fact, how do you conduct this charity? Because I see there is a part where you assist refugees in obtaining documents. I just want some clarity there as to, do you assist them by getting those IDs for their passports and all that? If you could just explain that one. I think that's all for now, Chair. I'll come back if I wish to have another. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sondo, and I saw the head of Honorable Ngele. You forgot something, Honorable Mare. We'll give you the chance. Honorable Sondo.
Thank you very much. I would also want to thank the trust for presenting such an elaborate information to this committee with regard to the operations and the finances of the trust. That is what the committee wanted to know. But what is evident and what is crystal clear is that with all probabilities, the documents presented to us are suggesting, are not suggesting a clean bill of health in both operations and finances of the trust. And for that reason, I have got the following questions. The first one would be, when last was the deed, because if you look at it, it's as old as Methuselah. And also we have got the current legislative measure that you are so afraid that it will impact negatively on the standing of the trust. I was looking for it here when you mentioned MPMM current legislative changes that are in the office would impact negatively on the trust. What did you mean by that? Did you mean to say that MPRDA is there and is subject to review? You are afraid that it is going to shake the pillars of the trust? And why would you think that? Like Honorable Member Murray, listening to that presentation, I thought I was listening to the local government of the area. And the presentation was probing the committee to to dig more information in so far as what the trust is doing, which was supposed to have been done by other departments of the same government. Why should the trust build police stations when the Department of Police are there? Why should it be the responsibility of the trust to build schools, not in partnership with the Department of Education? Why should the trust, which is meant for those people who are staying in dusty streets, be buying cars for local government? And I'm sorry, I got shocked, and everybody saw me getting shocked. I couldn't believe it. Whether the government represented him in the trust or in the board of trustees is the one who is influencing the trust to buy cars for local government employees. And who are these? Who was it? I think the person, we did not get it clear for which municipality was this, and who are using these vehicles, and what are they using these vehicles for? Because it requires us to check with the with local government as to whether that is true or not. What else? The founder of the trust was the government, and the first donation to the trust was from government. Don't you think there's something funny when the trust deed would say the board of trustees should exclusively deal with the resources that it receives from the taxpayers' money, that is from government? It's good that government has founded the trust on good grounds, but if the trust is reporting, because it's not clear where you are reporting to, if the trust is claiming to be reporting to the community that we met, who did not even know about the trust, we had no clue about what the trust was doing. Is that correct for the trust? Is that not perhaps something that would necessitate an approach that would change the deed of trust, or look at the possibility of coming up with a legislation to dissolve the trust? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngwele, followed by Honorable Schmidt. I see more hands coming up. Honorable Mare, sorry. Honorable Ngwele, followed by Honorable Mare, Honorable Nyakemba, and Honorable Tali, finally Honorable Schmidt. Let's keep those questions shorter, because we must still listen to Alexco. They're standing in the queue. Over to you, Mamuwe.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would like the presenter to be very patient with me, because the question that I'm going to ask has been asked several times. Almost each member has been asking this question, but they asked it not to my satisfaction. So I would like to repeat it using my own wording. It's about the board members. But I would like to know, what is their term? How many years is their term? And what happens after the term expires? Are some re-elected? And how many times is a board member re-elected? Is there a time maybe, or somehow you can be a board member for life if you keep on being re-elected? That's exactly what I want to know. Thank you very much. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you, Honorable Murray.
Thank you, sir. I did ask a question about that one investment in a property that is in the Western Cape. And I just want to refer to the trust deed on page 19. It stipulates 15.4. The trust may not purchase any property with the aim of earning any rental income. So I want clarity on that investment, please. And then I want to go to that. That's for me very important now, sir. About this Afrikaans version of the financial statements on page 17, point 18 at the bottom. It states the following, that's the 2009 one. Rijd verblijf in sittingsfooie 3,241,188 rand. So according to me, there's 14 trustees. Now I want to go back to the trustee that states on page 21.17, payment of cost. All costs and expenses which are expended by the trustees in the course of the administration of the trust fund, including their remuneration, in brackets, being such reasonable remuneration as they may decide on. So they decide on their own remuneration, as well as any income tax which they may have to pay in their representative capacity related to the income of the trust, have to be paid to the trustees of the trust fund. Now my question, I want to know exactly what is the remuneration of each trustee, and what are they paid when they, is that, I suppose, when they've got meetings, that is a remuneration, because in Afrikaans is sittingsfooie. How often do they sit, and what is the policy of the trust fund as far as if they stay over, do they stay over in 5-star hotels, if they stay over in 3-star hotels, what's the policy as far as verblijf accommodation is concerned, and if they travel, at what rate are they remunerated per rate? Because this number here, 3,241,188, and for the year 2008, it was 2,422,511. I want clarity on this as in detail, please. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable Charlie, the last, Honorable Nyegambe, sorry. Followed by Honorable Charlie, Honorable Schmidt will be the last person to pose a question.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think mine is a follow-up to what Honorable Sondo raised in relation to accountability of the board. Transhacks were in pain during their time of presentation this morning. That it appeared to me that what they are doing, they are pumping money to the trust, and at the end, not knowing whether the money, as the sole funder of the trust, the money is used on what it's supposed to be used to. I understand that even during that presentation, it was made mention that there is somebody in the board who is from Transact. But if one was listening carefully to the CEO of Transact, really, they do not know what is happening with the monies that they are pumping since early 90s up until today. I think you need to explain yourself as to what is the relationship that you have with the sole funder. How do you update them on the things that they're doing out of the money that they are donating yourself? That's what the
The second one, I think it's important to reiterate what Honorable Soto raised and other members. The responsibility of local government and provincial government. And I think really there is partnership between yourselves as the fund and certain departments of provincial government and the local government. It's important for us to know which local government are you talking about, which you have donated cars, and you took responsibility of infrastructure development in those municipalities. Because that will be good for this portfolio committee, Chairperson, because we need to liaise with the Department of Cooperative and Traditional Affairs to say, your local governments are not doing what they are supposed to do. Instead, the money that is supposed to develop communities in the Northern Cape is not doing that, but is doing the work of cooperative government and traditional affairs responsibilities. And that goes with other departments, police, education, tell us. Let me just stop there, sir, because, you know, a trust to me is like a trade union. When members of the board are elected by the community, leadership of the trade union is elected by trade union members in order to represent those trade unions and give feedback time and again to its members. How are you doing this if the findings of the portfolio committee, that when they went to oversight, the people that you claim to represent, they know what you're doing. They don't know about it. Can you explain yourself? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Mchali.
I really don't understand why are we wasting so much time on this subject. Because to me they seem to be spending a lot of money, according to what they say, on the municipalities, on everything that is not their responsibility. But there is no official AG report. What are we therefore discussing here? And I want to submit that by discussing this statement that is not signed by AG, we are saying you did a good job by doing all these things. These reports are not signed by AG, and other one, as Mr. Murray, well, Honorable Murray was telling us, he has got serious flaws. But we keep on discussing this. I think, Chair, this subject must close. They must go back and bring a signed AG's report and see it. And then we can start discussing this. Unless we want to waste time until 2 o'clock. This is a waste of time.
Thank you, Honorable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to support Mr. Charlie, because I haven't been on that Northern Cape visit, so I'm not sure what all this is about. But from the statements I've seen, at least there is accountability that has taken place. I mean, whatever documents you require has been placed before you. But can I just say, you know, if the funding, which I've asked a question just now about whether you still receive the funding from TransX, if my concern is that if that funding was not due to take place, then from a point of view where I sit, it seems that the local government can't even help itself if you're paying for vehicles and electricity life. Then local government should be standing in the dock, not the development fund, which is trying to assist local government. So I'm not sure while we're trying to investigate, of course you should interrogate your financial statement. Of course you should. But if it's prudently done, and I understand if an audited general report can be submitted, well, that's fine. But who's the accounting department after all? Is it Department of Mineral Resources? Who is the department that eventually says, sign off? DMR? Or is it another department? In terms of your founding statement, because that is very important. Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. We hear you, Honorable Members. We are going to make your lives easier by asking the trust fund, as they were writing down these questions, to prepare the response. And to go back and get your auditors to confirm this statement. In fact, to then sign them off so that we know that they are the ones who looked at this. Because when we look at your statements of 2007 and 8, we see PricewaterhouseCoopers has even put their report on their letterhead, and they have signed off the audited statement, which is what we would like to see happening. But it's clear that you need to give us the entirety of your information, because you're starting us from 2004, whereas you say the trust was founded in 1994. We would ask the kind offices of the auditor to give us English version as well, at least for the three consecutive financial years, so that there could be an ease of reference for the broader understanding of members. But also, in line with questions that were asked, in your presentation, you gave us your vision, you gave us your mission, but you were not clear on your objectives. You were not clear on your objectives. That is why you find members don't understanding who are you. In the body of your report, you're telling us about all sorts of things that government should have been responsible for. You know, building, you know, the police stations, you know, building the halls, which the halls, community halls, seems to be taking quite a large sum of money. You know, draft count in Lilliesfontein alone, you build halls to the tune of over 2 million rand. I don't know how many halls have you built. So even your input here lacks details. The houses that you have shown us is only 30 that you were requested by the then president to make a contribution on. Our own finding on the ground is that people don't have houses. And yet you have such kind of resources that you are able to basically do what government is supposed to do. For instance, electrification. That's ESCOM. I don't know which way was this. It would have been Department of Mineral and Energy, and now it should have been Department of Energy, who must roll out those, you know, infrastructural requirements, the electrification of those areas. We are not sure whether government works out a program and simply give it to you for you to implement and finance. We want to know that. If that is so, then Northern Cape government must tell us, what do they do with the money appropriated to them for such purposes, if you are assuming that responsibility. But if you do it out of your own volition, you must tell us, why are you overlooking the main responsibility of lifting up that community? There are no jobs. We were there. For instance, kids in Buckham are schooling in a church building, and yet here you're splashing quite a lot of money elsewhere in areas that do not directly impact on the lives of the people. The roads there, you know, it's all dirt roads within that community. Some of the people don't have running water within close proximity in their houses. So these are basic things that we would expect at least the trust to meet government halfway. We're not expecting you to do these things on your own. You're running projects here, you're showing us brick-making projects and so forth, but you're not telling us how many jobs were you able to create and how sustainable those jobs were in that process, something that will directly impact on the communities. So in all, we want you to go back, really look at the presentation that you have made, polish it, and give us more information if you are able, so that next week, let's meet back here. Because we don't want to take decisions on the basis of insufficient information. And we want to take decisions having had absolute clarity on exactly what is obtaining in this instance. Remember, I said when I was listening to you, it's like listening to a world-class company like DBS, like your Anglo-American, in their boardroom, you know, when they're giving you their marketing strategy and all of that. Meanwhile, your responsibility is for the people, the poorest of the poor. That province is among the poorest of the poor, provinces across the country. Now, we would expect any kind of resources that are afforded, that they would go towards alleviating that situation. So, therefore, we would make that request so that this is the first time we're engaging. Granted, I think you've given us quite a large sum of information, including your file. We'll look at what your deed says, and we'll look at what you are reporting to us, whether it is in line with that deed. And then on the basis of what we find, we will then be able to take a proper decision. So I'm saying keep these questions, members are saying that at least tell us, because in your financial statements there's quite a large sum of money that is to do with your cost as trustees. Are you getting remuneration? And if so, how much? Just that question. We want to listen to Alex.
The remuneration that a trustee is receiving for a gathering or meeting is 3,334 rand. That's before tax deduction, and per kilometer it is 7.20.
So sorry, madam, can you speak closer to the mic? You're saying what is the
3,334 per meeting, and the travel remuneration is 7.20 per kilometer, depending on how far the trustee is staying from the office. The furthest is 630 kilometers. And the nearest one takes about 50 kilometers from the office. Accommodation, the qualification or the standard is 3-star. We are having, or the standard is one board meeting every second month, a executive committee meeting every month, and then we also have the standing, the committees and the ad hoc committees. But the schedules can also be will also be included in further reporting, because you don't have it here now.
Okay.
Let us thank you very much, Madam, together with your delegation, and we hope that you will be patient with us, because this is for the good of all of us, so that also you can be sure that what you are doing is got full support of everybody, including ourselves. So let's meet back here on the by next week Wednesday. The venue will be communicated to you by the committee secretary. That gives you enough chance to then, taking into account all these questions that have been asked, to then lift some of these matters for the portfolio committee. Thank you very much. Alex Kaur, take us through. Alex Kaur is setting itself up. Can we listen to the department? Please come and take these two seats in front here, DG and Mr. Oberholzer.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. I don't think that ours is going to be too long, except that we just want to indicate to the committee, we'll just be quickly tracing the genesis of the of this trust, and in the process try to establish to the committee as to what role is played by the Department of Mineral Resources in relation to this trust. According to the records that we have gleaned, the origins of this trust date back to the appointment of an advisory board development committee by the Minister of Mines in 1964. As a result of this, of the said minister, the said minister granted certain leases in the so-called colored areas in Namaqualand to the Colored Development Corporation, CDC, with a view to encourage and promote the progress of the colored community. For this, the CDC would receive a royalty of 5% on the gross revenue derived from the recovery of diamonds during the prospecting operations, and a part of the income and profits generated during the mining phase. The CDC was later converted into the Development and Finance Corporation, whose rights and obligations were taken over by the Small Business Development Corporation on December 1, 1981. The SBDC then decided to create the Rural Development Fund, which incorporated the Diamond Fund, in which to place the funds emanating from the diamond sources with a view to stimulate development in the colored rural areas, particularly in Namaqualand. However, I think this is the most critical part, Honorable Chairperson. Most of the local community leaders later expressed their dissatisfaction with the arrangement and made representations to the government. that not enough was being done for the upliftment of the communities. This resulted in a cabinet decision to transfer the Diamond Fund to the administration House of Representatives, that is, the Department of Local Government, Housing and Agriculture, on the 1st of April, 1991. At the insistence of the local community leaders, as the honorable members will recall, that after the 1994 elections, these government departments underwent changes in names, and local government they fell under the Department of Local Government, Local and Provincial Government, Housing under Housing, and Agriculture under Agriculture. So all the functions that used to be historically performed by these departments then were inherited by the new departments that were created subsequent to that. And as you can see, honorable members, the Department of Mineral Resources was not a successor in title to any of those departments, and therefore none of the functions that were performed by the Department of Department of Local Government, Housing and Agriculture was transferred to the Department of Mineral Resources. And as we looked, we discovered that we didn't administer any trust except two, which was the Ingwenyama Trust and the LMT, Libua Mineral Trust. So those are the only trusts that are reflected in the records of the Department of Mineral Resources. So the long and short of it, Chairperson and honorable members, the Department of Mineral Resources has not had anything to do with this, with the administration of this trust. And in testimony thereof, Chairperson, if you look even at the people who were the first trustees of the Namakwa Diamond Fund Trust, which was the successor in title of the previous trust, the one that was now created in April on April 25, 1994, you'll find out the trustees there were one Mr. Patrick Duncan McHenry, who was the Director General of the Department of Local Government, Housing and Agriculture, and Jacobus Johannes Christopher Boshoff, who was also an official of that department. So that's the information, honorable members, that we have, except to say that, which I think also will be of use to the committee, that what we have also discovered is that according to the trust deed, these funds were to be used only for educational and training purposes for the advantage of the local people. Also, the trust should act as a welfare organization to help improve the quality of life of the people of the seven rural areas. And indeed, it does have an impact on the other way around. The MPRDA does have an impact on the existence and the status of the trust, in the sense that royalties now have to be paid to the state, and it then has to be the state that must then determine as to how those royalties will be used for the benefit of the people of South Africa. And the rationale behind all this, Chairperson, honorable members, is the notion that which is basically one of the cornerstones of the MPRDA, that mineral resources are a national patrimony and therefore are a heritage of all South Africans, which have to be used for the benefit of South Africans. The reason why Lebowa Mineral Trust was abolished is because it was predicated upon ethnicity. It was for Lebowa. And the same with Ingwenyama Trust, because it was for KwaZulu-Natal. And therefore, that's why we no longer had those trusts. So, which is why now the MPRDA as it currently stands doesn't encourage that. I thank you.
Thank you very much. I think also the question that was asked has now been answered. But honourable members, do you have questions to this input? Honourable Schmidt? Honourable Sondo?
Hello, thank you, Mr. Chair. Could I just ask, does that now mean, in hard terms, that no payment will be made to the National, or the Indy, and the Makwalan Development Fund Trust as from the 1st of March 2010? Full stop. Is that the reply to what you said? Thank you.
At face value, Chairperson, that is the situation, because in terms of the current legislation, royalties have to be paid to the state, and as to what arrangement will then be done between that community and the national treasury, that's something else. But there is no special dispensation for this particular trust in the act as it currently stands.
Honourable Schmidt, you got a follow up?
Yes. So it will mean that particular trust will have to approach the Treasury to apply for special exemption to be paid that particular.
Yes, Chairperson. Given the fact that the National Treasury are now the administrators of the Royalty Act.
Thank you. Honourable Sondo?
In the same vein, does it mean, because I presume it gives an answer to the pivotal question that we asked, a question that will release TransX. These royalties, according to the Act, they should cease to be deposited into into trustees that do not account for them. I want to put it in that way. Does that mean, if that is the case, as you were saying in response to the earlier question, is that going to be done retrogressively?
Honourable Chairperson, there will only be one collector of royalties in South Africa, and that will be the National Treasury, through the instrumentality of indeed of SARS. Because SARS now will be the instrument by means of which the National Treasury will be executing that particular function. And I'm sure then the accountability will flow from there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makagula. Ngiyabonga, Chairperson. Here it's seeming that the department was not aware about the trust. My question is the department were aware about the trust on 2001, or there is any correspondence that the department received to the other department about the trust? Because we are dealing with mine here, it must be indicated because this is the mining sector. If not, and then that will be fine on our side, because the department, it will say, no, this department doesn't know anything. But if there is, and then what is the department's follow-ups, and what is the department's command on that regard, I think.
Thank you, sir. In 2001, we received a letter from the Director General of the Department of Local Government, Local and Provincial Government, to the effect that some companies were not paying their royalties to the trust. And indeed, the department, the director general had received a letter from the trust to the effect that some companies were not paying their royalties. And then, in turn, the director general wrote to me attaching that letter, asking for assistance. And indeed, we responded to the people concerned, and we indicated to them that they are supposed to pay the royalties in terms of the existing arrangement then. So that's all what we did. They wrote to the department that was relevant to them. And in turn, that department, because they know that we were a department that was responsible for royalties, they wrote to us so that we could assist in ensuring that those people are indeed executing the responsibilities that are entailed in the deed. So that's what happened in 2001. And say we didn't think that there were any other follow-ups that we ought to have made, given the fact that we are peers with the Department of local and provincial government. We don't see ourselves as having the responsibility of exercising oversight over them.
Thank you very much. Let us thank the department. Thank you very much, DG, for shedding this light. And let's swiftly move to Alex Cole. Introduce yourselves and take us through your take. Remember, honorable members, this is now going to refer to a different trust called the Alex Cole Development Trust Fund. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Gona, honorable members. I'll start by introducing myself. I'm Ketiwe McLean, the Chief Executive of Alex Cole.
It can't be. We're still in a meeting. You can't have a commotion of this nature.
I would like to introduce Anthony Kamugoma from DPE, our Acting Financial Manager, Berno Lateran, and our leader.
Where are they? Are they sitting with you?
Sitting next to us. And Selwyn Hockey, our legal advisor. Okay, honorable members, I will start with the presentation. We've been asked to come and present, to give some background on the Alex Cole Development Foundation, who I understand will not be present at this meeting today, but I will go ahead and start, to give you some background on what we know. In the presentation, I'd like to cover the following, the background of the Alex Cole Foundation, and shed some light on that. The ADF, the Alex Cole Development Foundation, was created through a trust deed dated the 30th of November 1993. Alex Cole was the promoter of the foundation, and the beneficiaries were the community of Namaqualand. Namaqualand shall refer to the boundaries of the Namaqualand Regional Services Council. In terms of the trust deed, Alex Cole was to contribute 30% of its tax profits to the profits after tax to the trust. And this just gives us some indication of the area that we're talking about, the Namaqua district. The objectives of the ADF were to apply that was to apply the trust income solely to the socioeconomic upliftment of the underprivileged persons of all the communities in Namaqualand. Initially, 4 trustees were appointed by Alex Cole and 11 trustees appointed by their beneficiaries. Alex Cole was entitled to appoint the chairperson up until the third meeting, after which the board would appoint a chairperson at the AGM. The trust would continue indefinitely and may be terminated only by a resolution adopted by a majority of not less than 3/4 of the trustees, in which case the assets of the trust shall revert to Alex Cole. in the event of termination, Alex Kuo's obligations would fall away and were not transferable to any of any other trust or institution. Alex Kuo undertook to pay to the trust an amount equivalent to 30% of profits after tax. The trust was a discretionary trust as far as the allocation and the employment of the property of the trust and income. The trustees were required to keep proper accounts and financial statements of the affairs of the trust, which would be audited every financial year. A full annual report was required to be submitted to an annual general meeting consisting of representatives of Alex Kuo and the beneficiaries, including reports of the activities supported by the statements of income received and the payments made. For the first 3 years, from 1993 to 1996, the management and the administration of the trust was undertaken by Alex Kuo. Thereafter, Alex Kuo was not involved in the administration. After expiry of the 3 years, the trust was to appoint an administrator. Notwithstanding the appointment of the administrator, the overall responsibility for the proper administration of the trust remains vested in the trustees. This table shows some of the Alex Kuo's grants to the ADF from 1993, and you can see it's divided into educational and development grants. There are certain years where you will see that there are no figures, and that was the years in which no profits were made at Alex Kuo. It's just to remind you that this was a 30% profit after tax. As a result of the restructuring of Alex Kuo in 2002-2003, a strategic equity partner was envisaged to be introduced in the company. It was resolved that Alex Kuo would withdraw its undertaking to pay the 30% profit after to the trust, the profit after tax. In return, the trust, its objectives and responsibilities would be incorporated into an entity known as the Namaqualand Development Agency, the NAMDA, which was a Section 21 company and was to be registered by the Northern Cape Provincial Government. And NAMDA would be allocated the 10% equity stake in Alex Kuo. This was premised on the successful restructuring of Alex Kuo, which did not proceed as anticipated and was discontinued. So that did not take place. In 2002, the ADF was then granted a mining contract by Alex Kuo at the Witfokorp mining area, a mined up to generate some income since the trust was no longer going to benefit from the after-tax profit contribution by Alex Kuo. So it was replaced by a commercial arrangement with the ADF at Witfokorp. During the period that Alex Kuo was administering the trust, if we can see in the table, these are the contributions received, and that's 15.4 million during the 19 months, and that's from 1995. And then 1996, the 3 million. And there's a breakdown of the applications, and it just goes through the bursaries, contribution to education resources, the services, homes, infrastructure development, nursing school assistance, milk provision and distribution, Namaqualand Technical Training Institute. And it would be for a total accumulated amount of 9 million in 1995 and roughly 9 million in 1996. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable members, there you've got it. Let's engage with that briefing. Do you have this trust deed, this 1993 trust deed? Have you got it in your possession now, or would you...
We have it in our possession now.
Please.
that it does it remain as it was since 1993, or has it changed in your knowledge? Very well. One area that seems to be a missing link in your financial report, there were these years when there was no contribution, 1999, 2002, at which stage then there was this decision which you say it was premised on the successful restructuring of Alexco. Now, you say you offered them at Alexco, the ADF, a contract. Now, what happens to that original agreement in the deed, in terms of the contribution, direct contribution that you have to make? Because this matter of a contract is like giving them some work to do, so that they can earn income. Does it mean that you completely ceased your obligation of making a contribution towards the foundation?
Okay. Well, just to give some background, the agreement of the 30% profit after tax was replaced by the 10% equity. So that ceased to exist. The 30% profit after tax. And when that did not, the 10% did not go ahead because of the process with the strategic partners, and later the deed of settlement with the Richards Wealth community, it was then decided that Alex Core would at least try and find a way that the ADF would generate some income, and hence was given the commercial contract.
That not the abdication of your responsibility in terms of the trust deed?
Maybe Selwyn will just talk from a legal perspective on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Chief. What happened in 2003 is there was a whole lot of negotiations around the bringing in of a strategic equity partner for Alex School. And I know that the Department of Public Enterprise was involved, and it culminated in an agreement which the trustee signed, in terms whereof the 30% SSA was abdicated, and a 10% was going to be allocated to NAMDA, as stated previously. So that is actually the legal position as it is now.
But do we got any questions? Honorable Mare, Honorable Sondo, Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Sondo, Honorable Mare. Any other hand, honorable members, can I see an indication? Honorable Khululu. Okay.
Can I just hear what the status is of this particular trust? Because according to these statements, it appears that it is dormant. I can't put a picture, so it appears to be dormant. Secondly, is it going to be closed down, the trust, development trust? Because if it's dormant, having it on the books without any purpose is normally dangerous. And then thirdly, was one issue I'd like to ask you. The suspension of your liability towards the Alexco Development Trust was on the basis that the NUMCA, I think you called it, NUMDA, venture is successful. Now, when that clearly was not successful in itself, do you say you then in return for providing further 30% of the profit revenue to the development trust, that in return therefore you then gave a mining right to the development trust? Is that basically what you said? I'm just trying to ascertain on what legal basis you suspended or you terminated your right to pay, or your obligation to pay to the development trust.
Thank you, Honorable Sondo.
It kept us in the same vein. Just wanted to check one little thing. Alexco left the trust with 9 million. Is that correct? Secondly, when changing, when changing to implement the contents of the deed trust or the trust deed, you gave them a mining contract. Did that ever come to fruition? Because I'm just thinking of a situation where you give me a responsibility to paint and I can't paint. You see? Did that ever, and what happened now to the trust since they were minors now? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mara.
Thank you, sir. I will add on to the previous to honourable members. I'll just go back to the balance here of 9 million. That money is lying in a call account, an investment, and the interest received on that, where it's going to, is it added on? What, this is my first question. Secondly, I want, if the trustees, what remuneration did they receive as trustees? Are they still receiving a form of remuneration? And what exactly is it what they receive? And in 10% equity as a commercial income for the next period, can you highlight on that? What is the income generated by that 10% equity, please? Thank you.
Thank you. The last hand I noticed was Honorable Hululu.
Thank you very much, Chair. Mine was a clarity-seeking question, actually, regarding the CEO of Alexco, Katie Weller. Why is she the one who's responsible for this trust fund, this ABT? Is there no CEO or is there no board for this ABT? Thank you. That's my question.
Okay. Would you care to answer those questions?
Maybe I'll start with the last question first, if you don't mind. I actually am not representing the trust. Alexco is no longer involved in the administration of the trust, and I think maybe there has been some communication, and the trustees or representatives of the trust were invited today to present. So therefore, I don't think a lot of the information that some of the questions that have been asked, I think it would really be the trust that would be able to answer them. So yes, that's the case. And then I'll go back to the first question, the ADF, the status of the trust. The trust is not dormant. The trust actually cannot be terminated unless 3/4 of the trustees decide to dissolve it. And as far as I know, that hasn't happened. So it's not dormant. We don't have much insight to what's happening within that trust. We have requested on a number of occasions the annual financial statements, even though we're not involved in the administration, but we have not seen those for quite a while. The second question, I think, was the suspension of the liability to the ADF. And the NAMDA venture not being successful. I mean, I think that was part, you know, just part of a process. The 10% equity did not happen due to a number of events, and I think it was also superseded by the Richtersveld lands claim settlement. And I think we also did invite DPE to attend the session, you know, if there were any particular questions. I think they were part of that process and they could shed some light on that, but it was part of that settlement. The next question was, that was the termination there, but it wasn't really the termination of the 30% of profit after tax. It was the 10% was meant to replace that. And in terms, I think the third question was, what did Alexco leave the trust with 9 million? Alexco, since the the change to the commercial, the mining venture at Witfokop, the trust has been receiving income, and it has been generating income from this mining venture. They have a subcontractor, Harib, and they have been mining at Witfokop for a number of years, and I'm sure, again, they will be able to, I think they would be better placed to shed light on how much they have achieved over the last few years, but they have generated income. Then I think the next question was, so I think that responds to the mining contract. Yes, and then I think the other questions were really related to the remuneration of the trustees, which I can't answer that question. I think the ADF representatives would be best suited to do that, and any, you know, any other financial information like the annual financial statements. I hope I've covered all of the questions.
Yes, indeed you did. Honourable Maria, you have a follow-up?
Sir, and I just want to make sure, you say the trust fund is not dormant at this point in time. Do you still have trustees at this point in time at that trust fund? Accordingly, I had four originally. So do Alex Corps still have trustees on that trust fund, number one? If that's the case, are they being invited to meetings of the trust? And if they trustees is been invited, are they not remunerated? Because if they are, I want to know what is the remuneration of those trustees, and how often do these meetings take place if they've been invited to that trust fund. And you said you have numerous, you actually asked for financial statements. Can you just highlight the committee, since what is the last financial statement or balance sheets that you as Alex Corps received from that trust fund, the last date?
Okay. Currently, there's no Alex Corps trustee, and I think that is something that we're looking at, because we think it's a bit of a challenge if this trust is to continue and we don't have a representative. So we are not invited to any meetings, and there's no trustee remunerated from Alex Corps' side. In terms of the annual financial statements, I think we do have some old ones, but we've asked for annual financial statements for the last 3 years, and we haven't received anything. So I think we have some older ones, but not anything recent. The last one is, the last request from us was in July. And I think it was after the oversight visit, we also the honourable member had requested that we also ask them for annual financial statements. We have corresponded with them and asked them to furnish those annual financial statements for the portfolio committee.
Thank you, Honourable Schmidt.
Yes, I'm just trying to link what I have in front of me to what I understand the position to be from the media and other entities, but it we're talking about the trust fund where we have a current interdict by the one, let's call them one group against another group, dealing with representation on this particular fund. Am I talking about the right fund? Because this document, which you seem to indicate, it seems to there's a lag in detail from 96 onwards. So am I talking about a total different entity with a total different set of books? With it, if that is so, then I'm covered. Thank you.
No, you're not talking about the same fund. This is the Alex Corps Development Foundation. I think what you've been reading about is the CPA, which is the Richtersveld Community, and it's a completely different fund.
Well, honourable members, thank you very much. I think, again, in this instance, the picture here is not comprehensive. One disadvantaged position is that the trust fund, you know, as I mentioned in my opening, that they have raised all manner of problems, including inability for them to come here
and claiming that they don't have resources, and they said they appealed to Alex Corr, and then Alex Corr responded to them in the manner they did. What we would do is to then reconvene next week to finalize both these trusts, including this one which is absent now. We will look at parliamentary processes, whether we should give them another invitation or we should basically issue them with a legally binding invitation for them to be here, because we've got powers to summon them to be here, and if they don't, then they would face the might of the law, because there's no otherwise. They must come and appear before us to take us through, because for now, in terms of what is related to you as Alex Corr, we've got one side picture, which is also not complete, because your last contributions, you know, go way back, 1996, your last contribution, and these conversions of the 30% to a 10% equity, which did not work out, and then the whole question of contracting arrangement that you refer to, which anyone can tender for being a contractor and then get that job. So we would have to then listen to that trust fund and put together these pictures and be able to then process, you know, the matter going forward. But of course, in both instances, we will do so with this very understanding in mind, that you now have the Realities Act in existence, which then puts into question the continued current arrangements in terms of the contribution to this trust fund, both the Namakwa Development for Trust Fund and the Alex Corr, you know, Development Fund Foundation. Is it still foundation or a trust? We would assess after we've listened next week to the new information from this trust fund which was here and the one that is still going to come. But also, honourable members, we would need to invite local government and the cooperative government and traditional affairs. We would have to invite them. Fortunately, we have got a representative from DTI. Is that not so, sir? You're from DTI?
Department of Public Enterprises.
Public Enterprises. We would want you to be present once more when we deal with this matter. We will liaise with the relevant portfolio committees so that they can also maybe join us, because they might have more insight in some of these arrangements than we do, coming from the angle of mining, so that when we take a decision, it should be based on holistic view in terms of what is going on with this trust. Of course, there will be a decision, because what we have seen on the ground is prompting us to basically intervene on the matter. The nature of that intervention is the one that will be determined by the information we're collecting and the interaction that we will have with these other portfolio committees and departments. With that, we arrived at the end of our meeting. Earlier on, we had said that NUM was going to make a presentation. Unfortunately, they informed us that the people who come from that province who were going to make the presentation were unable to be here. But there is a delegation from NUM, but they are not the ones who are going to make the presentation. So we'll see whether they are ready next week so that we can also include them. But for next week, the concentration will be on these trust funds in the main, to basically be able to then make up our minds. Then also, honourable members, you are in possession of the oversight report. We will, those three reports, we will also discuss those reports in the meeting next week and sign off on those reports. I'm urging you to read them through so that if there are any comments, then we can deal with them in the meeting next week, so that together that report and these interactions can then form one kind of a decision. And if there's a recommendation that we must make in the House, so would it be. With that, let me thank you very much, Alex Ho, for having been here, and the information you have given us forms the basis on which we will be able to engage with the trust fund when they do appear here. In the next midweek meeting, it will be in your interest for you to be around, albeit at a reduced delegation. But if you believe that public enterprises will represent your views, it's your call, and we will leave it to you for you to take a decision in that regard. With that, honourable members, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned, but the ANC component can remain behind. We just want to make one. No, it's one announcement which will require you only.